Moncrief on News Talk
with Gas Networks Ireland. Natural gas is compatible with a wide range of modern appliances. gasnetworks.ie/movetogas.
Barbara and Declan join us once again for So You Think You're an Adult. Good afternoon to you both.
Hello.
Bright-eyed and bushy-tailed.
Yes, you are.
Rare and for action.
Rare and for action. Yeah. Your microphone looks a bit wonky.
Yeah,
there,
it's, right? It's, sorry, I think I fiddled with it.
Okay.
Sorry, my life, it's now falling down.
Don't keep your hands off things. Right. First question is this. I really regret sleeping with four women in the office. When did your regret exactly start? Because I really want to ask out someone new that I really fancy. She started a couple of months ago and we really hit it off. We have spent every lunch break together, would often corner off the other nights on work nights out. She's very flirty and even said to me the other day that if I wasn't such a player, I would be someone that she would really see herself with. I had such a sinking feeling when she said that because I knew that the typing pool had been having a gossip. There's a typing pool?
Yeah.
Having a gossip at my expense. Sure, I slept with at least four people over the last 2 years, but it's a big company. I didn't think it was such a big deal. I hate that now I have this reputation as a heartbreaker. How could it hurt my chances with this woman? Is there anything I can do to prove to her that I'm serious? Oh my God, I hate him. I absolutely loathe this individual. And if you're the woman who thinks you might be going out with them, do not under any circumstance, don't sit with them.
Oh, Lord.
First of all, yeah, I mean, typing pool. What century? Maybe this is like 1950s, get lost somewhere in a bag of mail somewhere for Frankie Byrne or something. But anyway, that said, I'm fascinated about the typing pool, though. Seriously, if you're listening, would you ever let us know what company, please, or what kind of typing pool you have? Because I really don't believe there's a typing pool anywhere in existence.
You might work for the patriarchy.
Anyway, leaving aside all the guffawing about the four women in the office, you know, you're not stuck really, but you have to play the long game, I think, at this one, if you're serious. In other words, you know, you've obviously been enjoying yourself with the women in the office and, you know, that's fine. But if you're now, and you're now looking for a relationship with this new woman in the office who has, you know, seemingly caught your eye in a big way, and your only hope is to play the long game. In other words, is to keep doing what you're doing, keep, you know, hanging out and communicating and talking and letting her get to know you and letting her see that perhaps your reputation, which, you know, whether it's fairly earned or not, it probably is. So you have to let her see that you're more than that, that you are capable of perhaps, you know, not necessarily just looking for kind of transient relationships, so that you're into maybe something, to exploring something a little bit more serious. You know, again, I'm not sure that the sleeping with four women over 2 years is really a big deal, but there is a message of the, or there is a mention of being a heartbreaker. Is it? I don't know. I'm a bit anxious.
Sean's judgment is coming on a little bit strong today.
Is that a big deal? Seriously?
No. Look, this woman that he wants to go out with, she's not competing with any other woman he slept with. She's competing with this guy himself, because the person he's going to love most in the world is himself all the time. He's not sending his that. He just wants to tell people he shagged four women in the office and he thinks he's
great.
You're
so cynical, and I'm taking him on face
value. No, he mentioned it twice.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, and heartbreaker. And at least four women. Oh my God, I can't help it. I'm just so irresistible to the ladies.
I just want to, you really, no. Well, no, I take him on face value.
What happened to Barbara? What have you done with her? You should be eviscerating this chap.
No, because if it was all like, if it was all, you know, consensual and happy days, fine. And what I was going to say was the thing that stands out as a warning sign for me, I love the way you're all just having the crack now with what I'm saying, is the fact that he talks about being a heartbreaker. So in other words, if he's been mean or if he has hurt some of these women in the office, because perhaps they were under the impression or the illusion that there was something else happening rather than what his thing was, probably just a one night stand or a one or two night stands. Well, that would probably be something that I would be concerned about. In other words, if there's women in the office saying your man's a bit of a creep because, you know, I thought this and it was actually that, that's a bigger issue. But if it was just purely, you know, kind of night out in the office, the two of them ended up together and he did that four times with four different women, I honestly don't see that's any big deal. But it has given him a reputation and now he has to live with the consequences.
Yeah,
of that.
Because it's a big company. Probably the typing pool's really small.
There's only the four big fish in a small typing pool.
Well, if there is a typing pool, I have a terrible feeling that it's populated probably by women in their 70s.
Yeah, this is... Someone says Don Draper looking for relationship advice.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it is. I okay, look, you know, you can get, come at it from the judgment point of view of, you know, he's a bit of a player and he, you know, there's a lot of self-love
going
on. I'd like
to remind the listeners, I didn't make any judgments. You're the judgy ones here. Someone says
larger solicitors' practices have typing pools.
Get away.
It's true. Wow. So now, this is obviously a solicitor. Yeah, that's what it is.
Oh, that's it then.
Yeah. So he went. Yeah. So when you should be, somebody should be trying to keep you out of prison, this guy's off. Swaggering around the typing pool.
But you know, there's two ways of looking at it. One is if you're going to be all judgy about it, and some people are judgy about, you know, people's proclivities and promiscuities, for the girl in this situation, looking at him, she might be going, oh, I don't know, I don't like your vibe. It's not how I am. And, you know, regardless of whether he hurt or did not hurt the women that he was having these dalliances with before, the fact that he's had so many of them might imply that he's not this sticking around kind of person, or he's not the settling down kind of person. And a lot of people want somebody who they believe is going to settle down in that way.
I think the other thing from a woman's point of view is you don't want to be fifth, like in a parade. Do you know what I mean?
Well, that's what Francis Agoma says. I can see this guy texting in next month saying, I really regret sleeping with five women in the office because a new girl started a month ago.
Yeah, that's the opposite side of what I'm saying, is that she's calling him out for his roving eye, and that's whatever, you know.
So. Is that a roving eye he has?
Yeah.
A roving eye wouldn't be a problem. Yeah.
It's his roving pants that are the problem here.
Basically, we're not really giving him any advice, are we? I mean,
someone says this guy's masking his real self by having the macho persona. I bet he's very vulnerable and self-conscious. Take him seriously. Oh, the poor quivering flower.
I don't know. Well, I think if he
is... Fragile masculinity.
If you give him the benefit of the doubt, that if he is, then it goes back to what I was saying. He has to play the long game with this. In other words, he has to... I'm trying not to say what I want to say, but, you know, he'll have to...
keep it zipped for a while.
Keep it zipped. Thank you. That's yes, exactly it. And he'll have to just, you know, behave himself for a good long while before and to build up trust with this woman. And perhaps then maybe he'll have a chance.
Do you think that there's an aspect of the fact that she's being a little bit dismissive or pushing him away, and maybe she's actually the player here, because what she's doing is going, this guy needs to be pulled down a peg or two. So what I'll do is I'll make myself seem slightly available.
Interested.
But I won't, you know, deliver. So he's going to, you know, have his head wrecked. Because that's how you deal with those people.
This sounds like a plot of a rom-com.
It does.
Elizabeth Heigl was in it.
God. Turn it off.
Texter says, stop sleeping with people in the office. Don't poop or you eat. Rule 101. He's a rookie. Rule 101. That means that there are 100 rules that go before you arrive at that rule. No wonder he doesn't know about it. I go to a monthly book club with other mothers from my child's class. It's been going on for about 2 years now, and it's a great excuse to get together and catch up, as well as have a glass of wine and relax. The last 3 months have gotten a bit awkward, though, as one of the mums has been overindulging on the wine part of things and has ended up really sloppy drunk by the end of the evening. The last club, she started crying and got into a weird argument with the host's husband, who tried to be helpful and called her a taxi. None of us know what to say, and now we're dreading the next one that is in a couple of weeks, and she's holding it in her house. We don't want to exclude her, but none of us know her well enough to ask her if she has a drinking problem or if there is something else going on at home. I know this sounds selfish, but we don't want to change the way the book club functions, as for some of us, it is the only night out we get. I would like to help her, but I don't want to overstep the mark. Would you have any advice?
When I first read this, again, I kind of thought, this woman is a bit judgy, and she's kind of assuming that just because Sandra likes some Beaujolais with her book club business, that means she's...
what happened at a book club. You didn't actually read the book at all.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's what
you
I know.
You kind of read the label of the bottle.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, it's just an excuse to get together and crack open a bottle. Maybe I'm being a bit flippant here, and maybe there is like a problem with this woman and her drinking. Then I thought, actually, no, I went back to the original thought, because that isn't what this problem is actually. She's asking for advice how she can exclude this person who, for some reason, she's taken against. And I think it's a little bit clutching of pearls, and it's a bit over the top. Look, if you're in a book club, you either are there for the Beaujolais and the bitchin', or you're there to like explore alternative worlds and personalities through the medium of literature. And what better way to, you know, to meet different experiences than to have an alcohol in the corner, cracking off at the host's husband.
Yeah.
Is that for you? See, this is what happened. Now, that guy, the first guy, has turned me into a flippant person.
Exactly.
So,
I'm not
being caring, Declan, today.
I think you're kind of maybe onto something there with the whole kind of slightly judgy thing going
really
on.
Judgy.
You know, that these are...
It's like, the, you know, you want a Desperate Housewives, the ginger-haired
ones.
That kind of uptightness of like, you know, I want everything to be this way and you're kind of being a bit...
Fresh. I think that could be. And there are book clubs, I believe, where the book is discussed. And it can be, okay, this is going to sound off, but I'm going to say it anyway. It can be a way for somebody to flex perhaps their slightly kind of intellectual muscles by kind of discussing in depth the book and the characters and the what's going on and the deeper meaning and all the rest of it. And obviously, as you, what did you call her? Sandra. Sandra's there for the crack. Now, I was briefly in a book club once and I was there for the crack as well. And
you booted out, Barbara.
I left before I got booted out because I just... generally wasn't doing my homework and, you know, wasn't that really interested in reading the book or not reading. And I hated being told which book to read, especially if it was a book I knew I wasn't going to enjoy. So I left of my own free will and accord. But the book club is still going strong and it's very enjoyable by all accounts. But this book club sounds like great crack with Sandra, who's getting messily drunk every month.
And picking fights with the husbands.
Yeah. So, you know, I think they should all relax. The next book club is going to be in her house. So you don't have to do anything.
Why would you want to miss that one? That's going to be the best one ever.
You just go along. And, you know, if she is going to be blind drunk or messy drunk or whatever they called it halfway through, and the food will be, you know, probably all gone to pot and everything, she'll look, just relax and enjoy it. I don't really see there's a problem.
Well, I think the point is that they're not enjoying it.
Well, if that's it, then okay, so let's take it seriously. If you're not enjoying it and you really think that something should be done about Sandra, and I mean, it has only been the last three book clubs. Most book clubs only meet once a month, and these are book club moms.
Well, I'm assuming that she's only been coming for the last 3 months.
Okay,
it's been gone for 2 years and it's
but
been relatively
they're mothers from this child's class, so presumably they know this woman from seeing her at the school gate or, you know, gatherings.
Whatever.
With the school and all the rest of it. So maybe she's just somebody who drinks to a different level that they do.
Yeah.
And I my feeling is that she hasn't got a problem. She just likes her alcohol and, you know, doesn't know
what's
when
the crying bit about.
No,
though.
But crying and having an argument, and then, that's usually a bad sign.
But if the husband, you know, yourself, if you're the kind of drunk who, yeah, she probably is making, I mean, I just have the vision in my head that she got very drunk and the husband of the host was trying to be helpful and scooted
her
out the door before she broke the Waterford glass and was kind of saying, "Now, Sandra, I've called you a taxi and I'm going to pour you into it," and Sandra wasn't having any of it. I mean, to me, it sounds great.
We've all been that Sandra.
But if you do, I think somebody needs to maybe, if she is over the top at the next one, and if she is blind drunk or too drunk or messy drunk or whatever, you can't all approach her as a gang. You've got to delegate the task to somebody to maybe give her a buzz the next day and say, you know, you all right? Like, was everything okay? And, you know, things got a bit out of hand last night, just checking in on you.
And that's why I felt it was a bit judgy, because it's even like we don't know her well enough to, you know her well enough to be in a book club with her. So, you know, you do know her well enough to say, is everything okay? And, you know, that's
the way to handle it if you're not going to just sit back and enjoy it. Or maybe you all join in and everybody get blind.
Because she might have been crying in anticipation of the mortification she was going to feel the next day.
Lots of people don't think
cracking on to the husband
really
or whatever she was doing in the kitchen.
Now, we should point out that Barbara just made up the name Sandra. Well,
oh,
that's
yes.
not
yeah.
her actual
Sorry,
name.
Sorry, Declan made up the word Sandra.
Because Mary on Twitter is already going, I am Sandra and I'm proud. Je suis Sandra is going to be a new hashtag. Keith says, when I do a book review with one called How to Ask Someone to Leave Your Group Without Actually Asking. Good book, says Keith. maybe this is our only outing in the month.
Yeah.
Want to talk to her outside of the book club and find out what's going on. Invite her to lunch with no alcohol involved. Tricky. So getting plaster and having weird arguments with the host's husband is normal. Washed, says the texter.
Well, I mean, it wasn't a punchy-up fight. She obviously just said, "Oh, I'm ready to go hold a taxi. You can stuff your taxi." That was, I mean, I don't imagine there was a huge, big, like, punch-up.
I don't know from the description.
Yeah.
She could have like postnatal depression. There could be something going on at home. It might be her only. Oh God! No, suddenly, what's going on today? I don't know.
See, like
Barbara's just making all these totally unsympathetic faces. there could be all sorts of things going on with this poor woman.
Yeah, no, she could be. Yeah, there could be. And that's why I say, nominate one person to maybe the next day after book club to give her a shout or call around and just check that she's all right. That's when you're more likely to find out if there's a problem or not. You know, the next morning calling around.
And, you know, if we're being kind of unfair to the person who wrote in and the book club isn't a kind of a really intense space of loads of judgy biddies sitting around looking at Sandra, judging her for opening up a second bottle of whatever it is. If it isn't that, if it's a very relaxed space and there's no reason for somebody to be necking back the Chianti at a fast pace, then maybe there is a need to kind of whatever. But otherwise, I think everybody just needs to chill.
Everybody just needs to chill.
Read the book.
Yeah, and enjoy Sandra's.
Yeah.
Drunken observations of the book.
She might be very insightful.
Yeah.
Jared Kushner is now speaking at the US embassy launch, and God, that's a face you'd never tire of slapping. Right, I've been living with my best friend for nearly 3 years now. He's a gay male and I'm a straight female. The other day he told me he was going to marry his long distance boyfriend of 4 months and that this was going to happen when he goes to visit in a week. We are both going to move to where the boyfriend lives in 4 months, and we have been packing, hunting for an apartment there and finding jobs there. I should point out, by the way, that this is from a listener in Texas, so hence why it sounds kind of somewhat American. The boyfriend is from another country and can't stay without a visa, but no one is willing to hire someone that requires sponsorship, which is why the wedding is happening so soon. He really does love him, and I'm not concerned about him doing it. I was sad that I assume it means I won't be moving with him, and this will obviously change our dynamic. We've done almost everything together for nearly 3 years and would joke about me being his hetero wife and him being my gay husband, and it has made me incredibly sad to know I will never have that again, but I was still so happy for him. We knew his parents wouldn't be able to go at such short notice, and I told him that I really wanted to be there for such an important event. He told me that he just wanted to have an intimate service since his family couldn't go, and while very disappointed, I understood. He said they would have a big one later and he wanted me to be a part of that one. My problem is that I've been extremely hurt since he told me that his future mother-in-law would be there for the, in my eyes, real wedding, but he didn't want me there. I don't entirely understand why, but I've been so hurt by this. I want to be there for him 100% like I should be. I'm just having a hard time letting that go. Any suggestions are greatly appreciated.
Janie, I had to read this one a couple of times to kind of to try, and I still am a bit baffled. Okay, there's two issues, and I'm wondering, is, be interested to hear what my learned colleague across the desk has to say on this one, because I'm wondering, is, if you took out the gay man out of this and put in my girlfriend, my best friend, you know, we've been friends forever, we've done everything together, we've lived together, we've done everything together, is now getting married, I'm not sure that the reaction would be quite so, that she wouldn't be able to understand. The reaction would be somewhat similar, but you would be, she would have anticipated it perhaps, and she possibly would have been able to understand it more. In other words, what I'm trying to say is, certainly if the first time one of your very close friends gets married, I remember the first time one of my very close friends got married, I cried my eyes out in the toilet at the wedding, because I was just like, oh, it's the end of our friendship, you know, now he's going to be like her best friend and I'm going to have to take a step back, all of which is absolutely true in lots of ways, you know, because, you know, your lives do move on into another way. So the feeling that, I mean, the thing about the moving, I thought was weird. I mean, would you seriously move town or location from where she is because your best friend is getting married to somebody and they've to move to somewhere to be nearer to him? Would you move as well and change your job? That's a little bit, so I don't know if she's a little bit in love with him or is there something else going on?
Yeah.
Because that was the bit that was like, that's not friendship, that's like something else going on. Declan, you're nodding away.
No,
there.
I am. I have to say, I did feel a similar thing. There's a bit of a codependency thing going on from this woman's point of view. You know, I think a lot of the time when you have a gay man and a heterosexual woman who are really close friends, there can be
like us.
Well, you're going to be surprised what I'm about to say then.
Oh, oh, I'm sorry, I said that. No,
there can be, because people joke about it. You know that, you know, you're like my surrogate wife and you're my surrogate husband.
Yeah.
And but there can be subliminated or not subliminated feelings that go beyond a sort of platonic thing, and those relationships can then become kind of complicated. And it's kind of like, you know, we were talking about crappy rom-coms with Jennifer Aniston or whoever in them. It's kind of like that one, My Best Friend's Wedding, kind of a scenario where when that close double act is threatened or is imminently going to change because situations are changing, the actual loss of what's happening then suddenly become really apparent, and there's a lot of emotion around that. And I think that what's happening is the woman is realising that what she had put all her eggs into that basket is suddenly that basket doesn't actually belong to her because it never really did.
And her eggs will be no use to her yeah. that basket anyway.
Boom, boom. Barbara's in town all week.
So because she did use that phrase about... him being my gay husband, yes. about me being a head, yeah. and which is, you know, from him a joke, but perhaps
yeah,
her, it's kind of like
kind
a halfway
I'm talking
house.
About. And sometimes it can be a sort of a. It's not that it's a dysfunctional relationship. It's that it is what it is until it's not what it is because
clearly,
it's always at risk.
And clearly, she's not in a relationship.
Yeah, that's exactly yeah. what I mean. That's exactly what I mean. And it couldn't happen the other way around. And
it never happens the other way around. I've never heard of a straight man with his best friend, lesbian friend.
I meant if there's
it never happens. Yeah. That's a sitcom I want to see.
That's true. Yeah.
Yes, thank you.
Yes.
I don't know if that's. Strictly true, but
okay.
I'm thinking of several gay women I know that have straight male friends and
okay.
very tight.
But the other thing that I thought was a little bit off also, and again it probably feeds into exactly the same thing we're talking about, is the fact that she's jealous of the fiance's mother who's going to be at the wedding.
Yeah.
Like, you're not, no matter how close a friend you are of somebody's, you're not on the same level as family. Mm. And that's his fiance's mother.
And that's where the alarm bells went off for me, because I kind of went, oh, okay, so even though it's really clear that his life choices and decisions are slightly decoupling them, consciously decoupling, as Gwyneth Paltrow would say, that she's not going along with that she's trying to almost keep her claws into the situation when the just life is moving at a different pace and it's going in a different way. Unfortunately, it's kind of sad, and there is a bit of
You've got to let him go, girlfriend.
And you are right, though, that when he does end up married to this other guy and he is living in another city, their relationship profoundly and permanently will change.
Yeah.
That's just a fact. And
but I would also say that if she hasn't moved yet, I'd think seriously about the whole moving your whole life to be, you know, closer to him, especially if he's now going to be married.
It depends on what she has still in Texas, though, what's still there for her. And that's the other thing, is that maybe that she needs to look at what else is going on in her life, why her relationship with this guy at that level is so important to her. Is it because she doesn't have the other kind of emotional support?
But the other thing is that, like, from a heterosexual point of view, of somebody who, you know, your friends get married and you do find that it is unnerving, that thing of you now realise that you're kind of on a different level than you had been before. Mm. And that's just part of, like, you know, that's just part of life. And if your friendship is solid, if her friendship with this guy is a real friendship and is solid, it will survive that, and it will survive the distance as well, you know, but it will be changed, and she just has to come to terms with that.
Yeah. And again, it comes down to the fact that she's lost something. He doesn't lose anything in this in this situation. He's gone from having his makey-uppy wife to having his actual real gay husband. So he's maintained that he stays in a couple.
Yeah.
She's kind of watching lost. The situation going, I'm the loser in this
it's
scenario.
Like, she's been cast adrift on the sea of life now.
And that's life.
Oh, in gosh. A little boat on her own.
Yeah. Shouldn't
but
have.
She'll okay. be fine.
Shouldn't
she'll
have made friends
okay.
with the game. Man.
She'll be okay.
But I suppose it's kind of an odd thing. Well, if she was friends with a straight woman, would it seem more apparent that the threat of that straight woman going off to get married than it would be with a gay? Maybe it was because she was friends with somebody who was long. He was his boyfriend was a long way away, so she couldn't see him. So you know,
it wasn't a threat
safer.
To her.
And also, I think you're more likely to anticipate it if it's a girlfriend. Do you know what I mean? I think maybe because they had this kind of, I'm your gay husband, and she's my
and she might actually have, regardless of whether she acknowledges it, she might actually have non-platonic feelings for this guy as well. That could be.
Part
why are you looking
of it
at me
well?
Like that?
I'm not. No, I'm not.
Well, though, actually, because if you're a straight woman, to be best friends with a gay man probably has advantages. The gay man isn't going to have his thinking skewed by his penis all the time.
Not in her direction,
you know. Which I imagine can be a problem.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean that her thinking can't
so
be skewed.
So he can't cheat her.
He's almost the perfect guy.
He's almost the perfect guy. Without having the annoyance of sex.
That's why it's very attractive, and that's why it happens a lot. And they're really tight, you know, straight men and gay guys. And then when they end up coupling up in some way, I've seen that the gay guy in that scenario tends to be able to cope with it better, whereas the straight girl, if she's left behind, there's a feeling
is a bit lost.
Yeah,
and she sounds like she's just a bit lost, but she will be okay.
She'll be fine.
She will be okay. But I think she should think about the moving thing. I'm not sure that's a great idea.
One texter says she doesn't want her life to change while his is skyrocketing. She's actually coming across as selfish and not like a loving friend. Support him regardless of his reasons or his decision for his decisions. Says the texter.
I think she is doing her best to support
her. It's hard
her. I mean,
to do
she's
that, though,
that.
When you feel like everything has been taken away from you, though. When you feel like, you know, you had everything
and now
it's gone.
The bottom line is that she has too much of her life invested in him. And that's not healthy. One way or the other. That is not
back
healthy.
Back to the eggs again.
Yeah, back to the eggs again.
And the Killer Walla Killjoy says, I lived in the 80s. I lived in Paris for a year. Now he lives in Darkest Mayo. My best friend was a lesbian from Galway named Diane. It wouldn't have made a good sitcom. Come to think of it, my whole time in Paris would have made a good sitcom. Okay, good to know. Thanks for sharing that. And lots of people still reacting to the question about the book club. Sounds like a terrible book club. says, yes, have wine, but getting plastered is a big no-no and a cry for help. Your one in the book club needs to relax. Sandra can come and join our book club. A place to chat, sometimes read the book when you need it. A safe place to rant and have one too many Beaujolais. Hashtag Je suis Sandra. Oh my God, I'm not in a book club and I don't want to have kids yet, but my God, Je suis Sandra. And somebody on Twitter says, shove your taxi up your jacksy. Hashtag Je suis Sandra. Take an apartment. Thank you very much. Back in a couple of minutes.
Moncrief on News Talk.
With Gas Networks Ireland. Natural gas is compatible with a wide range of modern appliances. Gasnetworks.ie/movetogas.